Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. Happy New Year as well. It's still new. We're still in January after all. Still a new year, amen? You know, I was telling my girls that January got its name from a pagan god, pagan deity. Janus was a two-faced god, looking forward and looking backward. And so they decide to give this month the name after Janus. You know, it's a god that looked backward and a god that looked forward. But that's a small G-O-D, lowercase g. And Janus is no god. We know there's only one god. Amen? But it's after paganism. But I brought that point up to say, you know, people make what are called New Year resolutions as we come into the new year. And January is a real good time to do some reflection. What did we do for the Lord in the old year? And what do we intend to do for the Lord in the new year ahead? And so today, I want to pray, and then I will go into that message like a fire and a hammer. And still before I pray, I'll just tell you that a big thank you to everyone present here and those who are even not here today, who made it possible for that relief effort over to Jamaica. I was with that process from beginning to end, and I tell you, that thing tried me beyond myself. It was a true testing. It was a lot of work. But guess what I found out? Every step of the way, God provided the needed energy. Amen? Yes, I even went over to Jamaica, and some people tried to charge us more than they should. And I had another friend that was looking at it, and I pointed it out. I haven't heard back from those people yet. But, you know, God has a way to work. And in the end, the people send their big thank yous to all of you who made that relief effort possible. Some of you prayed. Some of you bought and gave and gave. And some of you are still praying. I thank God, you know. And this was a true effort by our local congregation here, linked with the New Year Conference. And, you know, many of my soccer buddies jumped in and donated and do all kind of stuff too. So it was a whole teamwork. The church, the local conference, and the community. And I tell you, I'm sitting looking in the audience and I see some mega donors. Some people gave significantly towards that cause. And by the grace of God, you will hear more later this year because we're doing a mission trip to Jamaica from the New Year Conference. And so I know some of you seated here are planning for that mission trip. Get your passports ready. Amen. Amen. Let's go and do exploits for the Lord. And while we do the overseas mission, remember the local mission right here in Elmira. And every co-worker you have, every classmate you have, every person that lives on your street is a candidate for heaven. And guess who is the ambassador to invite them to heaven? We are. Each of us is. And so we need to step up the work. Ask God for power. Ask God for courage. Ask God for influence. You know, everybody jumping on YouTube talking about their influences and talking all kind of madness. We are genuine influencers for the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't matter what our gifts are. If we can't speak, you know, as fluently as Elder Charles, if we don't look as beautiful as my wife, we still can influence for Jesus. Amen? We all can do something for Jesus. We can say something. We can give a piece of literature. You know, Gary's a man making all kind of songs with AI. We all can do something for Jesus, Gary. Amen? Let us do something for Jesus. Let us do something. And you hear the testimonies. We have digital disciples, the younger army, CJ and company, you know, the digital disciples. Let's go out there and do all in our power for Christ. I was in Tioga this morning, and before I got up to speak, you know, one person was sharing about, you know, the Vice President of the United States recently talked about the Sunday law. Maybe not in that term, but that's what he's talking about. And he's saying it's not against the Constitution. It's time we're going that direction. I mean, the world and politicians are not shy about what they're about. And we are seeing the signs of the times, and God forbid that we should stay asleep. Paul says in Romans 13 that it's high time we wake up. Amen? Now is the time to really point Jesus to Christ as our living Savior and High Priest in heaven and our soon coming King. Now is the time to point people to their salvation. Now is the time to tell everyone. Let them call you mad. No problem. They called Jesus a madman too. They told Paul he was mad. Stand up for Jesus and live that message. Proclaim that message. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for the privilege we have today to enter your word again. Sabbath school did its work. And the church service, this speaking portion, will not do its work. Children's story did its work. The messages in song did its work, Lord. And we just thank you for the privilege now for the spoken word. Lead us, O God, and may your word become a fire in us. May your word be a hammer in us, Lord. And may you accomplish that which you have purposed for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. So, you know, November 2 through 15 in the old year, we had a series here. What was it called again? What was it called again? What was the series described as again? A Better Hope. That's a part of it. Keep going. I still carry one of these, you know. Aha! Someone is coming alive. Amen, amen. Amazing discoveries. We thank God for these prophecies that he sent and these messages that he sent out to the people. And I know many church members share their testimonies with me. The revival that hit your own hearts. You know, and CJ made his recommitment. Congrats, CJ. Keep pressing on, you know. Yes, I'm not seeing Pandora today, but we keep praying. And brothers and sisters, some seeds were sown in the community. And we need to keep on and follow on where we left off. Amen? We praise God, and we don't want 2026 to be any less than 2025. So we need to step up and step out and shine for Jesus. Amen? And instead of just sitting on the premises, let us stand on the promises of God. Amen? Don't just sit around like a fire and a hammer. These six words for my sermon title today, they're taken from the big question asked long ago by Yahweh the Lord. And the reality is, God is still asking that same question today. Jeremiah 23 and verse 29. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? I say, yes, Lord. Your word is like a fire. Your word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Now, one of the most precious truths in God's word is that the creator of heaven and of earth and of the universe has denied himself in order to save us. Self-denial with God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jim, we can have the benediction and go home. That's the burden of my message today. God denied himself in order to save us. And we communicate with God through the fire of his word, through the hammer of his word. We know God's will because it is expressed in his word. And that's how important the word of God is. By the way, it is fundamental belief number one in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. What is it again? The word of God. That's fundamental. Long before we talk about the Godhead, commonly called the Trinity, long before we individualize the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, long before we did any of that, we talk about the word of God as Seventh-day Adventist. And we need to be spending quality and good quantity time with the word of God. If we're not feeding on the word of God, somebody else will be feeding us. And if we're going to live in heaven with Almighty God for a whole 1,000 years and an eternity in the earth made new, don't you think it's reasonable that we get to know that God from now? Otherwise, we get there and we'll be perfect strangers, or we might just not get there, because there'll be no strangers in heaven. Amen? Anyone who makes it there would have been in a covenant saving relationship with Jesus Christ. No strangers in heaven. Amen. So there shouldn't be any strangers in the church. Amen. We should get to know one another. We should call up one another in the week. And don't just wait for Sabbath to meet and greet. Amen. Amen. So, there was self-denial with God. And one of the key passages I want to use to make that point today is Philippians chapter 2. We're going to work from verse 5 all the way down through to verse 11. Self-denial with God. Paul starts by saying, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this what? Mind. Bible religion is not so concerned about externals than it is with the heart, the mind, the inner person. Because when transformation takes place in the mind, the externals will match up. Amen? But God is more focused on our minds. And Paul starts by saying, let this mind, by the way, it's in the Greek, it's called a subjunctive. It's the entreaty. Paul is entreating us. He's saying, please. He's appealing to us. He's urging us. Let this mind be in you. What mind? The mind which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind was that? Verse 6 goes on. It says, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. That's a high point. It talks about his divinity right there. He is God. But look now at verse 7. This is the mindset that Paul is urging us to have. Led by the Spirit. Verse 7 says, but made himself of no reputation. We all have been taught to have a reputation. We all want to be famous and popular. We all want to be known and we want to go viral. You name all this stuff. We want to be rich. We want to be powerful. And yet Paul says, the great God who is all this and more made himself of no reputation. What else? Taking the form of a bondservant. Taking the form of an American slave back in slave time. That's how far God went to save us. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And this thing I tell you, we don't even begin to understand it. You know, there was a time when there was this hot debate in the Seventh-day Adventist church about what nature Christ took, whether it was pre-fallen or post-fallen. But long ago I settled that because our prophetess said that it would have been an almost infinite humiliation even if Christ had taken Adam's nature before the fall. And that settles it for me. I don't have to fight. I know what that statement says and I go by that. But whether he took a nature like Adam before the fall or after the fall is irrelevant. The real thing is the Almighty Creator God took on human nature. Can you imagine that? It's like human beings make paper and then become paper to save paper. And even that doesn't do it justice because human beings are created and paper is created. This is the Creator God taking on created form in order to save his creation. Boy, I tell you, we should spend time studying that thing. What God really did for us. And I tell you, it will move us to conversion. It will move us to transformation. It will move us to the desire and the experience of being born again. Man, what a God. What great love. It says, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in the appearance as a man, there goes the word, he humbled himself. Self-denial. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And you know, the artists, they try to give a nice look. They put a nice loincloth about Jesus on the cross. No, he was in his birthday suit.
It was meant to humiliate. It was meant to embarrass. And Jesus did that for you and for me. He faced it all in order to save us. It says here that he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So I don't care if it is a Muslim tongue or a Jewish tongue or a Hindu tongue or a Buddhist tongue or a Catholic tongue or a Protestant tongue. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, glorifying God. Men may say many things and heap swelling words against Jesus, but a day is coming when the devil himself will have to bow those wicked knees and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And everybody who served the devil will follow their master. Why not bow to Jesus in humility and reverence now and be saved? Why wait to be humiliated rather than humbling ourselves now? It says God has given him a name that is above every name on this earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So in Christ, God denied himself when he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. God folded of himself into a little human bundle and came down in person from heaven to earth as Christ, the Messiah. What a Savior is Jesus. It is because divine nature cannot die, and the wages of sin is death, and because God wanted to pay the redemption price for our sin, that God did the ultimate act of humility in the universe. Our God took human nature unto himself so he could die for us and pay the price for our redemption from sin. No other so-called gods, no other religion has ever even been purported to have done that for their followers. Yet the real God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit hammered out such a magnificent plan of salvation. What a loving God we serve. He took our place. He paid our penalty for sin, and he is busy saving all who desires to be saved from sin and its penalty. How do you respond to that? When you read such beauty in God's word, when you watch God's word on a screen, when you sing God's word in a song, or hear God's word like right now, what is its effect on you? Do you hear or forbear? Do you resist and reject, or do you love and obey God and his word? Fellow pilgrims, on this journey to heaven, now is the time to follow God fully. God's word matters. Let the fire of God's word purify you. Let the hammer of God's word rebuild you. God's word is like a fire and a hammer. Ask God for that experience of holiness unto the Lord. Remember what the priests back then wore upon their beanie in the wintertime? Written, inscribed on it was holiness unto the Lord. God wants each of us to have that experience. Holiness unto the Lord. Ask God to make you whole. God's word is like a fire and a hammer. His word will clean us up if we let God do his work. Look at what Jesus said in John 15 and verse 3. He said, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Amen. So I don't know what degree the temperature is outside right now. Huh? But if God says it's 80 degrees outside right now, and you walk out there, what degree is going to be? 80 degrees. And if God looks at all of us in here and see that we are terrible sinners, and God says, you are clean, guess what happened in that instant? We are no longer sinners, we are clean. And if God looks at us and says, you're born again, what do you think is going to happen for us? We're born again. God looks at us and says, all your past sins are forgiven. What do you think is going to happen? All our sins are forgiven. We need to take God at his word. Amen. Hey, God's word is powerful. It's transformative. You know, when God was making our world and he came down from his holy heavens and he came on this earth, and you know, he wanted a little light so his creation could witness what he's doing. You think God went around and flipped a nice egg switch somewhere? No! God just pronounced the word. He says, let there be light, and there was light. And as he went on and did some more creation, he said, you know what? I need some dry land under my holy feet. And do you think he got some earth moving machines, some bulldozers and stuff? And you think that's what he did to get some dirt? He said, let the dry land appear. And what happened? The dry land appeared. And when God became man and walked the face of this earth, and one of his best friends died by the name of Lazarus, Jesus went up to his grave, and you think he worked some magic and did some tricks in a bottle and in a lab somewhere? No, he simply went to the tomb and called his friend and said, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? The dead man came right back to life. When God speaks, the thing becomes. Amen? When God speaks, it happens. That's why Jesus told those wicked Pharisees, before Abraham was, I am. At the burning bush, he told Moses the same thing. I am that I am. And that word is hayah in the Hebrew. It means be. It means happen. When God speaks, the thing is done. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. That's the God we serve. Amen. And so when the Social Security check may seem a little weak, and you're still faithful in your tithes and your offering, and God breathes on it, you find that it went further than you expected. Amen. Amen. And you push so hard in school and you try to get a good grade and maintain a great GPA so you can get that scholarship for Harvard or for Andrews or for Southern or for Oakwood. When you push so hard and you pray to God and ask for help, God steps in and speaks the word. And you're like, man, I don't know how I pulled through, but I did. And pulled through with great grades too. Amen. And when you face your nursing board exam, and you tried and it beat you up a few times, and then you prayed and went in and you passed, you know that was God who spoke. Amen. The God we serve is wonderful. And you know, you got that bad diagnosis, and they thought it was cancer, and you got all concerned. No, you got a few extra gray hairs, no matter what age you are, you got a few extra. But then you prayed, and the church prayed, and you went back and realized, man, there's no cancer, it's gone. Who you think spoke? The same God. The same God. God is real. And as we lean on him, as we trust his words, he will see us through. Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Like a fire and a hammer, God's word purifies us and builds us up. How many of you used a hammer before? Let me see the hands, man. You used a hammer before. Amen. We have some people here, maybe I haven't used a hammer. All right. Well, in Jamaica, there was such thing that was called the PWD, Public Works Department. They were responsible for road repairs and all that stuff. But I guess because we don't have them, the roads aren't repaired anymore. Man, I went over some roads while I was there. I think even donkeys are afraid to travel those paths. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, it was rough. It was rough. But I remember when they used to do road repairs in times past, and you know, that department would purchase stones, gravel for their road construction. And in my neighborhood, in my village, the women folk would actually gather rocks, or the men would help them, but they would actually break those rocks into gravel with the hand on the hammer. And they had no gloves on. These were serious women. I guess they are very well built without any gym experience. They would break those rocks with those hammers. A yard of stone, 2 yards of stone, 3 yards of gravel. They would break that stuff. That hammer is powerful. That hammer can do a whole lot. Amen? When we were making our home, you know, the Bible says the wise man built his house upon a rock. So we actually cut out the little rock to actually build our home. And you get to a certain part where the regular tools can't handle it. So we had to hire out a jackhammer service. And that guy came in with his jack what? Jackhammer. And he made the foundation so we could lay the steel and do what we needed to. And these are concrete homes, you know. Hammer. Yes, and it says God's word is like a fire and a hammer. The fire of his word purifies us. And the hammer of his word chases away the defects of character and also build us up. New construction taking place. He must the new experience. Amen? So all that God has to do is to speak the thing into being. And it says his word is doing this transformation. This is righteousness by faith. This is where we exercise faith in God, and God in turn clothes us with the righteousness of Christ. We become partakers of his divine nature. And when we walk with the Lord, it is a taste of heaven right here on earth. You know, one big problem, even within the bounds of Bible religion, is that there are some people who want a crown, but they don't want to bear a cross. But I have learned that there is no crown in heaven for any human being except for those who have borne their cross for Christ right here on earth. Amen. There is some truth in the saying which says that some people are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. Now, have you ever met those who just want to rush into heaven? They can't even have a conversation about down here on earth. They just want to rush into heaven. They approach the quest for heaven from a fire escape perspective. But we shouldn't want to go to heaven simply because we don't want to go to hell. That's not good enough reason. Our desire for heaven should be based on our love for and allegiance to God. And our desire to please him and to spend eternity with God. That should be the reason we want to go to heaven. Amen? You know, another terrible mistake some people make is to think that they can simply drift into heaven. Ah, I have news for you. No one will drift into heaven. Every inch of ground over which we must travel to heaven is hotly contested. Satan is determined to prevent us from getting there. Remember, he was there as Lucifer, and he's jealous because we're going to go to heaven. But by the grace of God, we're going to go there. How many believe by the grace of God you're making it to heaven? Let me see the hands. Amen. That's a good witness. I notice I say by the grace of God. Because lift up to me, Naomi, I'm not going to heaven. I have a wicked, terrible nature, just like yours. But Jesus saves. Amen. His grace is sufficient. And Jesus is able to take this terrible nature, and through the fire of his word and through the hammer of his word, he works on me. Even when I'm sleeping, he's still at work. And he fixes us up for heaven. What a Jesus is Jesus. So Satan is determined to prevent us from getting there. But like a fire and a hammer, God's word has destined us for heaven. God has spoken that into being. And what we need to do is to cooperate with God. Amen? There is a work we must do right here on earth. We must all go on the witness stand for God. You're only watching those court scenes and there's people taking the witness stand. We all must go on the witness stand for God. Our lifestyle is showing whose side we are on. What is your lifestyle like? We show more by our actions and by how we live than by what we say or profess. So, I encourage you today, take the name of Jesus with you. Accept his qualification of the cross. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Christ's sacrifice at the cross is our ticket to heaven. Somebody should say amen to that. You need a ticket for heaven? Christ paid for it at the cross. But you know we need more than a ticket, right? We also need fitness. And Christ's high priestly ministry in the heavenly sanctuary hands us our fitness for heaven. Christ's atoning death on the cross is our justification of life. Christ's ascension to and ministry in the heavenly sanctuary secure our sanctification of life. Hebrews chapter 8, 1 and 2 says, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. Now, what exactly is meant by this statement? We have such a high priest. Hebrews chapter 7, beginning in verse 22 and we work down to verse 28. Paul says, by so much more Jesus has become a surety, guarantor of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy. I don't care what the religion is on earth. None of those men are holy or women. Jesus is the only one holy. It says here, who is holy, harmless, undefiled. And look at this next point. Separate from sinners. All these priests and popes and cardinals and imams and rabbis, they're all sinners. But Jesus is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law points as high priests, men who have weakness. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Thank God for Jesus today. Amen. Friends, the word of God is like a fire and a hammer. It brings us hope and grace and love and encouragement. God's words brings us life, yea, even eternal life. God's word fires us up unto holiness. God's words hammer away the defects from our character. So as a God ordained pastor, today I want to urge you to pray and to study God's word personally. I urge you to pray with others and to study God's word with others regularly. By so doing, both you and the others will grow in Christ. And we need to grow in Christ. Amen? Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? God's word is like a fire and a hammer because God himself is like a consuming fire. That's what the Bible says. Amen? As God led his people from the sinful land of captivity to the promised land of the covenant, look at Exodus 24 and verse 17. It says, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. Over in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 24, also in Deuteronomy 9 and verse 3, and in Hebrews 12 verse 29, these verses say, that's Deuteronomy 4:24 now, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Deuteronomy 9 verse 3, therefore understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you, so you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. Hebrews 12 and verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. So friends, it was a rhetorical question that God asked in Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? God's word make us just and righteous. The Bible calls this justification. And in the justification aspect of salvation, God delivers us from the penalty of sin. In the sanctification aspect of salvation, God delivers us from the power of sin. And of course, in glorification, God will deliver us from the presence of sin. The penalty, the power, and the presence. Do you think we need sanctification now? Absolutely. We need sanctification and holiness. Now, when the Holy Spirit got to transform Peter, he became a born again. And Peter's preaching of the word of God was like a fire and a hammer. He said in Acts chapter 4, verse 10 through to 12, let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Elmira. Amen. That by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus Christ, who was raised in the nefarious ghetto of Nazareth, is humanity's only savior from sin. Jesus is the only link between heaven and earth. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He was the one who drank the bitter cup of God's wrath for us. Jesus is the only priest we need. Jesus is the only rabbi we need. Jesus is the only prophet we need. Jesus is the only enlightened one we need. Jesus is the only guarantor of our salvation. So it is Jesus alone that we need. What do you say? And for anyone who is childless today, Jesus is a child that is born unto us and a son that was given. For those of you who the various political parties have failed, Jesus is the ruler of a kingdom where he carries the government upon his shoulder. For those of you who are hurting mentally today, Jesus is the wonderful counselor. For those of you who are hurting physically today, Jesus is the great physician and the healing spa. For those of you who are hurting spiritually today, Jesus is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Jesus is really our all in all. Now I make the point that this is more important than just a name. As important as is the name of Jesus or any of God's other names, God places his word above his name. Amen. In Psalm 138 verse 2, Psalmist says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Many people use the name of Jesus like an amulet. They try to use it like a magic wand. But while Jesus' name is very important, God places even greater importance on his word. The psalmist says to God, you have magnified your word above all your name. So in Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Like a fire, God's word purifies. Like a hammer, God's word breaks our stony hearts of rock into pieces. God's word creates a clean, fleshly heart instead. Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. What do you say about the word of God today? Take a renewed look at God's word daily. A physically weakened Jesus, after 40 days of fasting, was assailed and hounded by Satan. So in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is your response to the Lord today? God says his word is like a fire and a hammer. It breaks the rock in pieces. We need this fire and hammer operation in our lives now. Jesus went to the cross to accomplish this for us. Then Jesus arose and is now up in heaven. He is doing his high priestly special work for us. What is your answer to Jesus today? I say, give me the Bible. Amen. Hymn number 272. Give me the Bible. Let us stand, and in commitment to God, in commitment to study his words daily, we sing our prayer. Give me the Bible. As we come to you, O God and our Father, the Ancient of Days, as we bow in your presence, Jesus Christ, our High Priest, Savior, King, and God, as we bow in your presence now, Holy Spirit, we pray and we give you permission to do in us what you know that is needed to save us. We now accept your word as a fire in our hearts, a hammer in our lives, to chisel away the defects of our character, to burn away the dross, to melt away the wickedness, and that hammer become a building tool as you fit us as living stones in your temple, O God, your living temple. We pray now by presenting ourselves into your divine hands. We ask that you take us and mold us and shape us and fashion us in your divine way as we go from this sacred spot to the fellowship table. Help us, Lord, to think on thee. Holy Spirit, transform us, we pray. Jesus, make us whole. O Ancient of Days, save us, secure us, and please, God, place your seal, the seal of the living God, upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.